ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had to better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on V&E, 15 June. Going to be a blazing hot day in Central Texas. You know that. You've hit the dog days there. Not yet, but getting there. But the mid-June heat is turned up big time at this point with a lot going on. Big conversations. 4 hours of fun begins right now here on the show of the people. The field is set in Omaha. 8 teams are ready to go, including the Texas Longhorns. We will preview and look forward to what's coming this weekend and beyond in college baseball. Also, the NBA playoffs. 1 conference semifinal series is done. The other 3 are knotted up at 2 each after last night's action. A lot of hoops chatter as well. Also, how about this? The All-Big 12 preseason team out for college football. We'll dive into that. Big conversation there and a lot to do. It's going to be a fun one. Glad you're with us. However you find us, we try to make it as easy as possible with a lot of options. 104.9 on the FM dial. 101.9 FM. AM 1260 is where you'll find us, live, local, and digital. And, of course, always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and wherever you go this summer for vacations or getaways or whatever you're doing, take us with you at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. We appreciate it each and every day. It did hit 100 degrees yesterday.
Yes, Mr. Farmer's Almanac.
Wow.
It was hot, I will say that.
Yeah, it was hot. And we're going to be up in the upper 90s again. We're going to be in the 90s for a while, but no rain for the next week and a half or so. Some little chances, 40%, 30%. You might as well say it's not going to rain. But we hit that century mark.
We did at Camp Mabry, not locked in at 100 degrees yesterday. Could be the same again today because I was out bumping around a little bit yesterday afternoon. It was I mean, you just one of those 5 minutes in the sun and you're dripping with sweat, and that's going to be the case again today. So hydrate yourself, take precautions ahead of time, whatever you do, especially if you're one of those that so many of our listeners who listen all day or are out and about working and working outside and delivering.
Getting in and out of those tractors and those trailers and those trucks and cars.
And you know that. But, you know, just a reminder, make sure you hydrate yourself and appreciate you being there as we get you going. The heat is here for sure after the rain of May and June, early June. Now the heat is on for sure. And the heat is on for the Longhorns. We'll talk plenty of college baseball. As we said, the NBA playoffs are here and a lot to get into. How was poker night last night?
Was not good for me.
Not good.
Not a lot of concentration here. That was just like giving money away. I gave away at least 3 hands of not paying attention to a hand that I'd actually had in hand. But nope, I wasn't paying attention and I lost about 3 hands.
Got to be locked in, man. Got to get locked in.
I wasn't focused for sure. That wasn't for our cars you serve because I wouldn't serve it myself. I was served up last night. That's exactly what happened. So but that's okay. Got a chance to talk to the boys after the weekend, and everybody was good. It was all good. So
Most of the guys who you play poker with, you also play golf with, and they were at the Mullet Open on Friday. They had a good time. Everybody had fun?
Yeah, they had a great time. Good. They really did. And they still continue to talk about just the giveaways. This year, everybody gets something is a good way to do things. And also, still talking about Louis Miller Barbecue.
Oh.
They were talking about it left and right and how –
The bark on the brisket, I can still taste.
They still want to talk about
off the golf course.
Wayne Miller and I had a conversation. He will return next year.
Nice.
Bigger. He says bigger and better. I don't know what else he can do. I maybe add some beans. That's what Paul said. Can you add some beans? I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but he had mac and cheese and potato salad, and there was a bunch of pickles.
And he never was supposed to be – there never was supposed to be chicken, and I asked for if there was only a little chicken, and what did he do? He made like 3 pans. Of chicken.
Yeah, Wayne doesn't do anything.
Just unbelievable.
Halfway.
So thank you to him. Thank you to the folks out at the Hyatt Lost Pines.
Well, you know, it's
everybody.
Know, your golf tournament is legendary. We had that on Friday. But Louis Miller, Willet Wayne's place, is legendary.
You know, it is.
Well, he's the third generation. His grandfather started it in the 40s, and they're in the same building and used some of the same smokers they had back in the 40s. And, of course, Wayne's brother John is John Miller, and his sister is Leanne Miller, La Barbecue. I mean, they are the first family of smoked meats in Central Texas, in my opinion. And Wayne, a good a guy as there ever will be. Go see him out there.
Just wonderful,
in Taylor,
wonderful,
Texas.
Wonderful guy. Yeah, you can go to CR Spectrum Media and get all the videos and all the in the shots of the Mullet Open. There was a young man, had a guy there who was taping and filming, you know, our goodbyes and go off and everything else. And or you can go to YouTube and just, I guess, pull up Mullet Open.
Yeah, we'll have to get
YouTube
that posted on our website.
You can get that and see all the stuff and all the prizes and everything and kind of the giveaways and how that thing is run. But thank you to you doing a good job as usual for the 20th year. We did not run out of beer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I will admit that I was not a big part of the beer drinking. It was too hot.
There wasn't a lot of people drinking beer.
It was too hot, man. I mean, literally, you're out of the course. You're like, yeah,
I'd
like a beer.
Such thing as too hot to drink beer?
Give me the water. You're just,
is there such thing as that?
You're sweating. Like, but I make it, I'm on a golf course. I'm not complaining at all. But it was warm. But yeah, it was a long day, but a lot of fun. That was Friday, and we're still recapping it. But we'll get
check
that
it out on YouTube.
And by the way, speaking of our website, hornfm.com, before we get to our headlines and trending topics in the Field of Eight set in Omaha, make sure you're getting your picks in. The Horn Major Golf Challenge is on tap. We know the U.S. Open is teeing off on Thursday at Torrey Pines. Phil Mickelson looking to finish off the career Grand Slam. Bryson DeChambeau is the defending champion. And what a Father's Day weekend it's going to be. We now know you'll get Sunday, provided there's no weather delays. You'll get the Sunday 18 at the U.S. Open. It's such a traditional, right? The Father's Day Sunday at the U.S. Open.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. And then that should wrap up. Well, actually, they're going to overlap a little bit because it's on the West Coast at Torrey Pines in San Diego. But you get the golf, and then you get the Longhorns opening up play in the College World Series. And let's get to the headlines. And by the way, go to hornfm.com, Major Golf Challenge, make your picks. Got all kinds of great prizes, as you'll see when you get there. Two $50 country Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue gift cards, $25 to Hat Creek Burgers, $25 to P.F. Chang's, $25 to Tony C's, Mullet Open hat, Tito's T-shirt. Got 12, how about 12 Titleist golf balls? That's $50 right there, for crying out loud. You can go lose those in the woods.
We can't give you the Tito's booze, sorry.
Can't do that. That's illegal.
We wanted to. We desperately wanted to do that, but it's better that somebody else gets that, not
that's
you.
That's right. That's you. But so go get signed up. It's a great prize bag this time for our contest. You pick 9 golfers, and we'll have fun with it through the weekend.
Two-knife golf serves, too, Ian.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And that's at hornfm.com. All right, let's get to your headlines. Start the hour as we do each here in the first three of the show of the people with the trending topics. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. And, yeah, news is college baseball. 18 field for this year's College World Series in Omaha is set after 2 games yesterday. Virginia and Mississippi State round out the field with super regional wins. Game 1 was a thriller. Virginia staved off elimination for the 6th time already this postseason, and they dashed the hopes of Dallas Baptist with a 5-2 win. It was a 2-out grand slam in the 7th inning from the freshman Kyle Teal. The difference in that game, DBU was up 2-1, needed an out to get out of the frame, and Guy Jackson grand slam, and that is how it flipped. Mississippi State, meanwhile, won the Starkville Super Regional with an 11-7 win over Notre Dame to round out the Field of Eight. So beginning on Saturday in Omaha, 2 separate 4-team double elimination tournaments will play out. On day 1, NC State faces Stanford, followed by Arizona and Vanderbilt. That's a battle of top 8 national seeds there. Then on Sunday, Virginia won yesterday. They're going to face number 3 national seed Tennessee, followed by the Longhorns facing Mississippi State. That game has been set for 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, Father's Day evening. You'll hear it, of course, right here on the Horn and the Horn app. Pregame set for 5:45. For Texas, it's the program's 37th all-time trip to the College World Series, but the Horns have not won a game in Omaha since 2014. This group seems poised to change that, as they've absolutely steamrolled their way to Nebraska. Texas is the highest-seeded team remaining. They've gone 5-0 in the postseason so far, outscoring their opponents 49-12, and have only trailed in one half inning of any of the 5 games. Senior first baseman Zach Zuby excited to get to Nebraska and continue the role. All right, we'll hear from Zach coming up, the senior first baseman. NBA playoffs last night, what a game in Atlanta. Hawks roared back from 18 down in the second half to stun the top-seeded 76ers, 103-100, even that best-of-7 series at 2 apiece. Trae Young, of course, led the way, 25 points, 18 assists last night. In L.A. last night, Clippers jumped out early to top-seeded Utah en route to a 118-104 victory. They never looked back after outscoring the Jazz 38-13 in the first quarter. Control of that game all night. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard had 31 apiece. Only one game on the NBA card tonight. That's Milwaukee in Brooklyn to face the Nets. That's a 2-2 series, and the Nets have already announced that they're going to be without both Kyrie Irving and James Harden for that all-important Game 5. Irving rolled his ankle in Sunday's Game 4 loss to the Bucks, while Harden has been recovering from that hamstring injury he re-injured in Game 1. Major League Baseball last night, Rangers and Astros both off. They're going to open a quick two-game Lone Star series tonight at Minute Maid Park. Lance McCullers is facing Kyle Gibson. Round Rock, a 5-4 winner in Sugar Land.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, so good baseball yesterday, good hoops last night. How about Trae Young? That was pretty incredible. Bringing them all the way back, 76ers felt like they were in control of that game, and we're going to grab full control of that series and go up 3-1, going back to Philadelphia. And instead, Trae Young and the Hawks say, not so fast, my friend.
Yeah.
And roar back and take them down. And that's a 2-2. They're all 2-2. I mean, the Phoenix series is over. They sweep Denver 4 games with Chris Paul leading the way. The other 3 series locked up at 2-2.
You know, Joel Embiid looked very tired last night. Looks like his leg is starting to affect him after the big game he had a couple nights before. That, obviously, if you've got a torn meniscus, it eventually is going to start to wear out and you're going to get tired. He didn't have that same... Didn't have that same zip. He didn't score any points in the second half. He was like 0 for 12 or 0 for 11. And Ben Simmons I love my 76ers, always have, but if Ben Simmons is going to be your second guy, doesn't he have to score points? I mean, doesn't he have to? I just don't think that marriage is going to really, really make it in Philadelphia to a championship with those two guys unless you get a third guy. Because you can have a great defender, but if the defender doesn't score any points and that guy was on the bench at the end of the game. I'm looking, he's on the bench. How can your second best player for the last shot of the game? Because he didn't take any shots. He doesn't take any threes. He barely takes twos. How can they win with that? How can they win, Zay, with if that's your second best player and he's not a shooter? That's tough to win that way in the NBA, I believe.
Yeah. So they were down by 3. And obviously Ben Simmons isn't a 3-point shooter. They would have went hack a shack on him. And he's a horrific.
Oh, that's right. I forget. He went 1 for 6, 1 for 5 or something like that.
Yeah, they were going to go hack a shack on him. And he's about, 50% from the free throw
50%.
Line. 50%. Yeah. Embarrassing. And as a guard, like he said, that's just.
We're talking about
acceptable.
A max contract guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was first pick in the draft back when he came into the league.
He hasn't gotten any better as a shooter or a free throw shooter in 3 years. What is it? 3 years or four years?
Longer than that.
He's actually gotten worse. So yeah, you remember?
Worse?
You remember, yeah, he's gotten worse. So you remember when he came into the league, he didn't play his rookie year.
That's
he was injured.
Okay.
So then he screwed Donovan Mitchell over and ended up winning rookie of the year the next year.
So it's 5 years now. Then.
I think so.
Yeah, he's been in the league a while. Because he took that redshirt year essentially. And now here he is. But no, look, I mean, the 76ers are the top seed, but they are definitely flawed. But who knows in the East? Hawks are the upstart. Bucks have now roared back, and Brooklyn's banged up. They're going to play without Kyrie Irving and James Harden tonight. Kevin Durant's going to have to, carry a huge offensive load with a Bucks team that's now feeling themselves a little bit after back-to-back wins in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're going to D him up. They're going to be all over Kevin Durant. He's going to have to hustle. And I said, does he have it in him? There's a guy who can score 40.
Well, he may
He'll
need
have
50.
To score 40. He may need 50, you're right.
50 in Brooklyn tonight. Meanwhile, the Suns are just waiting. It seems like that Utah-LA series could go 7, could go a long way after last night. And, Phoenix just waiting. But there's your NBA playoffs from last night. We'll talk more about it in Trae Young's scintillating performance from the Atlanta side of things. But college baseball, the lead story, of course, with the Longhorns now going to Omaha. We know that. They're going to play Mississippi State 6 o'clock on Father's Day evening. Can we hear from Zach Zubia? Because we were going to hear from him in the headlines. But we got to restart a computer. We got a glitch. We got a glitch. Kind of like ERCOT, Buck. You see the story yesterday? We all went through COVID and Snowvid and, the storm of February.
They're already begging us to quit using so much electricity.
Yeah, ERCOT, we got our first 100-degree day in Central Texas, and the great folks at ERCOT said, no, take it easy. Take it easy on our grid.
They're asking us from yesterday to Friday to chill out?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a bunch of plants that are down, and they didn't give any good reason why the plants are down. The power plants, obviously, the state agency, the operator.
A lot of questions, no answers at that place.
I know. What the heck's going on over here? Get this thing under control. I know we're a growing state.
It's just the start of the summer.
We're not even to July or August yet. What are we doing? We're already having to set your thermometer at 78, they say. Where do you leave your thermometer?
78.
Yeah, I'm a bore. I'm usually 75 during the day, overnight, because we have two ACs. We got one for different areas, so we can zone it a little bit. I always jack up the living room area with during the evenings, but then at night, I put it down in the 73, 74.
We shouldn't have any problems. It's a new house, 78. You get that spray in insulation. It's cool. My house is cool at 78. It's not even. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
Thank you, Ercot.
I don't want to put it down any lower. I don't want to do that.
It's kind of like our computer in our production studio with where Isaiah is trying to play some audio. But the Longhorns know they're playing Mississippi State. You know, it's funny how it comes full circle. The first game of the year the Longhorns played, first game, 60-some games ago, was to Mississippi State in Arlington. They lost that game, of course. The Longhorns went 0 for Arlington, and they've used that as a rallying cry all season long. Remember the Alamo, remember Arlington. They lost that game 8-3 to the then 7th-ranked Mississippi State Bulldogs. They also lost to Arkansas and Ole Miss that weekend. But since that point, when the Longhorns had an 0-3 start, David Pierce's team has won 47 of 58 games. They've gone 47-12 since those three games, and they come into this. You know, the last couple times Longhorns going to Omaha, they weren't seen as one of the power teams in the bracket. This year, as we, you know, we've talked about a lot and illuminated just again in the headlines, you know, they're maybe the power team in the bracket when they get there. Arkansas has been eliminated. Tennessee and Vanderbilt would be the next two top higher seeded teams in the Mississippi States in that conversation. But this is not just a team that wants it's going to settle for being in Omaha, Buck. They want to go to Omaha and do some damage and continue this role that they're on.
Yeah, well, they're playing a bunch of scrappers. That's what Mississippi State is. They're just kind of scrappy. They got decent pitching, but they're scrappers watching them play last night. And I don't know, the number two seed going into this deal, once again, I think this is a great draw for Texas. Now you've got that, hey, remember the early in the season, let's get back at these guys and let's just play our game. And yeah, I think it should be all right. This was not a heavily seeded team, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Mississippi
State. They were a host.
I mean, they did host.
Yeah, they were in Starkville. I mean, okay. They're.
What a beautiful ballpark they have too.
Yeah, that's a cool place.
That is a cool looking place.
I'll be fine if I don't ever get to Starkville, Mississippi. But that looked pretty cool.
It looked like the only thing in Starkville, Mississippi.
but not a lot. It's pretty stark there. But yeah. No, I mean, they're a top eight. I mean, they're a good ball club for sure, and they're one of those SEC teams. I mean, you're not surprised that they're there, and they were hosting Notre Dame last night.
They thumped Notre Dame.
They did. Well, and they jumped out.
They went long ball.
Yeah, third inning. They scored 7 runs and, you know, never looked back and, you know, take advantage of the home field. And you're right, they are scrappy. And they're traditionally a top-end baseball program
right.
for a long, long time. You know, Texas has met Mississippi State before in Omaha back in the day, if we want to go with that phrase. But this will be an opportunity for the Longhorns to go. You know, it'll almost certainly be Ty Madden to get the ball in a you know, go-get-him situation for him. Also, congratulations to Longhorn left-hander Pete Hansen, named to the freshman All-American team yesterday with his 9-1 record. And that's the one thing, you know, the Longhorns have gotten through this postseason, and Pete Hansen's only climbed the mound one time. So far through 5 games, he's a freshman All-American. By the way, this will be a trivia question 50 years from now, or 20 or 10 years from now. Pete Hansen has been a freshman All-American twice.
That's true.
Think about that. He was a freshman All-American as a freshman, but now everybody's reclassified. He's a
That's
freshman
right,
again.
Still a
so,
freshman.
So now he's a two-time freshman All-American. I don't even know how you do that. We'll blame COVID. But he is. And the Longhorns will head to Omaha. There's just a mojo to this team. As I said, 49-12. They've outscored the 5 opponents. They've scored double digits in 4 of the 5 games. They're resilient. They mowed through their opponents wherever. Even the other top seeds had some struggles, and Mississippi State had to go to the elimination game. And gosh, when you get up there, Vanderbilt went, you know, has cruised through. Vanderbilt looks really good. Tennessee, who, you know, when you focus on the Texas side of the bracket, you know, if Texas could get through Mississippi State on that Sunday night, Tennessee is the team that scares you the most. They're number 3 in the nation, right behind Texas. They've won 50 games this year. That's the highest level of competition you'll likely see there, but don't take Mississippi State lightly. And Virginia, as I said, who beat Dallas Baptist yesterday, they've already played 8 postseason games. They've staved off elimination 6 times already. They fell into the loser's bracket in their first weekend regional. Virginia had to battle their way back and then, you know, had to go all 3 in their super with Dallas Baptist. So 6 times already they've faced the end of their season and won that game. They've already played 8 ball games so far since the tournament began.
It's a great time to rest, too. Boy, they get a nice long rest, Texas, all the way till Sunday.
Yep.
But they'll be right back at it today, back to the fundamentals, back to what you've been doing. But this is a good rest. This is good for them. Love this rest. Where a lot of teams were playing last night, playing Monday, playing in the heat. This is a group that's got a chance to chill out and watch baseball, as a matter of fact. Go over what they probably looked at both teams on film. but got a chance to rest.
Oh, I'm sure
this
Texas
is good for them.
I'm sure a majority of the roster watched this game last night.
Well, and, for sure.
Because you knew you were going to play the winner. So
that's right.
Even David Pierce admitted after the game on Sunday night.
They probably got together and watched
gonna,
this, as a matter of fact.
He's going to kick back and watch the ball game and get a glimpse. I mean, they know Mississippi State from week one or game one. And now
A long time ago.
Oh, man, that's a fact. What was the date of that? February the 20th. I mean, that was coming off of the snowpocalypse.
Yep.
That was the Saturday after it, and people were still without power here and dealing with the issues.
God, I don't remember that. Boy, I want that to be in my rearview mirror, like COVID. I don't even want to think about that. That was so horrible.
Well, and this brings back the memories because, remember, it was an 11 a.m. game. It was the first game of the day of the games and the first game of the entire weekend at Globe Life Field, and it was 11 a.m., early start. Most people were still trying to thaw out and get their power back on and all the issues that we were dealing with throughout Texas and certainly in Central Texas. And the Longhorns went out and lost that game 8-3. But as we've said, since that weekend in Arlington, they've been as good a team as there is in college baseball. So Longhorns, it should be a fun weekend. It's going to be a fun week. This is a good week in Central Texas and a good sports weekend that we're plowing towards here on a Tuesday, because you do have the U.S. Open teeing off on Thursday, which will have all type of subplots and fun. Primetime golf on the West Coast. The Austin FC will open up the new Q2 Stadium this weekend.
They open it up tomorrow.
And they do open it up tomorrow night with the U.S. Women's National Team in town playing the International Friendly. That place.
Yeah, that's a big game for them, because what it is, it's the elimination of elimination of some players. They've got to get their roster down from 23, 24 to 18, and that's tomorrow. That's the last game before they get ready to go to Tokyo. So for a lot of young ladies playing in that game tomorrow, that's not an exhibition game. That's you're going to make the roster, or you're not going to be on the women's team,
the
national team.
Well, and it's raise the curtain for the Austin FC and their beautiful new stadium. I mean, that place will be packed with fans to see the look, this is the best women's soccer team in the world.
Yeah. They'll
be here tomorrow night.
For the last couple of years, they've been the best in the world.
Yeah, we're world champions, gold medalists. I mean, this is the best team of their in the world playing in that important friendly, as you said, with the Summer Olympics around the corner.
Versus Nigeria. It'll be packed. By the way, this thing will be sold out tomorrow.
Oh, it's hard to get tickets to any
of
this stuff.
Not only every dad is going to be there, but every young daughter that plays soccer is going to. You've got to go crazy to get a ticket to find a ticket for that tomorrow night.
I've been hit up several times, many times. Hey, my daughter wants
to go. My daughter wants to go.
My kids want to go. This is my daughter.
Not just the daughter. You're absolutely right.
Hey, find another story to talk. Move on. I don't have any tickets.
I've got to find a ticket for that tomorrow. I definitely would like to go see the women's team.
Move on. Find another story to write.
Thank you, Kim. Well, you moved on, too.
You did. She moved on.
LSU. But then Saturday night, 8 o'clock, the first ever official home game for the Austin FC taking on San Jose. So it is an exciting week. There's a lot to be fired up about. Texas baseball has a chance to. Do we have Zach Zubia now before the break, Zay? Computer still on the fritz. Oh, no. We got to get Dave Cranky, our cranky engineer Dave, out of bed. That's going to be a good morning. That'll be fun, Zay. Good luck to that.
Appreciate it.
speaking of soccer, I watched some of the, the cup that's going on right now. Watch Messi.
The UEFA Cup.
Chile versus Argentina. Wow.
Yeah.
You're talking about some different soccer now.
It's highest level.
It's
highest level.
There's no doubt. I love the MLS. I think it's growing. It's nice. It's great to have a professional team here. But when I watched that yesterday afternoon, it was different. They have different ways of handling the ball, you know? It was absolutely spectacular to watch that. And it's good to watch both of these this group of soccer this weekend coming up too. The women and then on Saturday. I'm excited about Saturday night. I know a lot of fans are for this team, the Oaks. I know they just can't wait to get into that stadium is absolutely gorgeous. So should be fun.
Absolutely. It's a great week, and it's the Longhorns headed to Omaha. We will eventually hear from Zach Zubia and some of the Longhorns getting ready for this trip to the College World Series for the 37th time. The soccer in the mix. And, yeah, get to the website, hornfm.com. Make your picks for the U.S. Open. We'll start to break down the top contenders for our United States Championship coming up this weekend. A lot to do. Live, local, and digital. We have a Craig Way report coming up as well. We've got your B&E Fact of the Day. Hey, you know we're streaming always right there for you on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&A with you on what's going to be another blazing hot Tuesday. Yesterday we reached triple digits for the first time that I can recall this year. I think that's our first 100 in 2021. Is that right?
Yes.
Our first 100.
Since last September.
Since last September. Okay. Well, the heat is on in Austin, Texas, and, well, you come to expect it. We know what it is. Summer in Texas is here. We have Texas baseball, also come to expect them 37 times now to Omaha, and a team that has a high ceiling even when they get there, starting on Sunday night now. We do know that's going to be the primetime game Sunday evening, Father's Day Sunday, Texas and Mississippi State. I did see where a team that's not going to Omaha, TCU, Horned Frogs, have scheduled a press conference for today to make a major announcement, they say, about their baseball program. As we told you last week, reportedly they're going to finish off what we said was going to happen. Kirk Sarlos, their pitching coach, is going to be named the new head coach to replace Jim Schlossnagel, who took the Texas A&M job. So look for that to happen today up in Fort Worth as college baseball takes the main stage here to decide its champion over the next couple weeks. And again, because people ask all the time, is it single elimination? How does this work when you get to Omaha? Because they have changed the format on a couple of occasions. It's 2 4-team double elimination brackets essentially happening simultaneously. You know, one side will play Saturday, the Longhorn side will play Sunday, and then you'll have, you know, loser's bracket, winner's bracket, just like they did in the first weekend. Longhorns went 3-0, and that's to be the goal, right? You want to go up there and win 3-0, and you know, you stay out of the loser's bracket and avoid taxing your pitching if you can. If not, you got to lose twice before you come home, and that's for everybody. Then once you get through your bracket, then there's a, you know, best final two standing, play a best 2 out of 3 championship series.
Yep, and then that's then we just continue to move on. Now it's like, what, after that it's 2 out of 3, or it's 1 and done then.
No, 2 out of 3.
It's just going to be 2 out of 3
it's
again.
It's the exact same format we saw for the
it
first two
change.
Weekends, right? It's the first two weekends just duplicated in Omaha. You got 4 teams with double elimination, and then that will produce 2 teams who play a best of 3. So, again, Texas is with Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Virginia. Those are the 4 teams. Texas doesn't need to worry about anything on the other side.
No.
They can only face one of those teams if they get there. Where Stanford and Vanderbilt and Arizona are hanging out, NC State. They'll settle that. Texas and Tennessee and Virginia and Mississippi State will settle theirs, and then the winners will meet for the national championship. It'll take 2 weeks, just like the first 2 weekends of the tournament took 2 weekends to get to here, and that'll just happen in Omaha, Nebraska, downtown. What do they call that, TD Ameritrade Ballpark? You know, it used to be out at Rosenblatt Stadium, which was just legendary, you know, old school. Now it's downtown. At the minor league park there. Nicer facility, more luxury boxes and all that fun stuff. But I know a lot of people...
Sounds like a hitter's park, too.
No, it's a pitcher's park more than...
Big like here, just like here?
Well, Rosenblatt was a hitter's park. Rosenblatt
That's more the wind, if the wind was blowing.
Yeah,
see
was,
you later.
Because it was outside of Omaha. And this
right.
is right downtown. And for folks that have been there, the wind just kind of blowing... Because the wind's always blowing in Nebraska, right? It's out on the plains.
Yes.
And apparently where they built it, the wind just blows right through the downtown streets and right in over the center field wall. So the wind is predominantly...
I have never been to Omaha, so I have no clue.
The wind is predominantly blowing in, and it's a big park. It's a big park. So, you know, pitchers have a better advantage there, a bigger advantage. But, you know, that is potentially advantage Longhorns because they're built for their big park here at UFC Dish Falk Field, which is built on pitching and defense, and we know the Longhorns
That's
can
what
pitch.
I mean. It suits them better.
Oh, yeah.
Hitting and running and doing the things that they do.
Yeah, they're built.
Taking that extra base, yes.
They're built for a pitcher's park for sure because they can pitch and they play elite defense, and they can create scoring opportunities in different ways with their speed and you know, their creativity on offense for the Longhorns. But you got to take it with you. You got to pack it and take it to Omaha. Longhorns have been great at home this year. We'll see if they can duplicate that starting Sunday night.
Zay, the Clippers last night, they are looking like those two dudes have got it going on again. Now, Paul George, it's like every other day, every other game, this guy is either playing great or he's just there. And it looks like he and Kawhi are both kind of in tune to knowing they got to score a lot of points to win. And they can.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul George can flat out score. He can flat out defend. But sometimes he seems to take that back seat. And now that they're 2-2, I think they're the ones in control now over the Jazz right now.
Yeah, Paul George, when he's cooking, he shows flashes of Tracy McGrady a lot. And
yeah.
I think Utah's in trouble because Donovan Mitchell, he's clearly not 100%, even though he's putting everything on the floor. They really need Mike Conley, who was an all-star this year. So he's been huge for them the whole season. But, you know, once you hit your 30s and stuff, like, you know, it's harder to recover from those injuries. So Mike Conley dealing with that hamstring injury, it's not looking good. And, yeah, like you said, Bud, going back to Salt Lake City, it looks like the Clippers have the advantage.
Well, and once again, Kawhi Leonard owns that mid-range jumper. He just, if you give him that shot, if he gets that shot, that 15-footer, he doesn't have to jump back like a lot of guys like to do. He's not worried about – if you give him an open shot at the three-point line, he's going to take the shot. But, my God, inside of that circle, that guy's deadly.
He is, and we saw that with Chris Paul too, right?
You know, yeah, those two own it.
Basketball analytics today is shoot threes and make layups to get rid of the mid-range game. Well, Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard are saying, you know what? We can still play some old school basketball. I think that's one of the reasons.
2 points works.
That's one of the reasons people like Chris Paul so much, right? He plays basketball like a point guard used to play basketball. Mm-hmm. He sets up his teammates. He penetrates.
He's physical.
Oh, he's a great defensive player. He's always been on the all defensive team. He defends his position. He's you know, it's fun to watch Trae Young and Dame Lillard and Steph Curry shoot from 40 feet out. But at the same time, Chris Paul plays an old school brand of basketball.
Plus, he leads, Zay. He's a leader. He leads. He will jump up in a guy's face so quick. He will go over to the coach, and they discuss things. They don't scream and yell at each other, but Chris Paul's not afraid to go to the head coach and talk about something and talk about plays. But one thing he's not afraid of is he's not afraid to be a leader on his team. And he doesn't mind getting up in those guys' grill at all.
Yeah,
they're youngsters.
You know, he's always been a leader, Buck.
Yeah.
I remember him at Wake Forest his freshman year. And
I don't remember that either.
I know you saw him when he came down
to
the 40
Acres.
Yeah.
Skinny kid.
Yeah,
he
was small.
Skinny kid.
He was small, but he was yelling at seniors and getting up in their face and stuff. And I'm like, yo, who's this guy that looks like a damn baby out here cursing these guys out and stuff? But he was the toughest guy on the court, and he's the last of a dying breed for the old school point guards with that stature. Now it's, you know, the Ja Morants and Russell Westbrooks, guys who are really athletic that look like shooting guards but play point guard. And yeah, the guys like Chris Paul, we're not going to see too many of him for.
Well, when you see him go through the lane, speaking of athletic, he's not a young guy anymore.
36.
But he still glides and moves and gets knocked around and keeps his balance.
He knows how to find his spot and create his shot, create space, because he's been little his whole life. I mean, he's had to do that
true.
No matter what level he's been at.
He's been little all his life.
He's got to be creative to shoot over the bigs, and he's fun to watch for sure. And CP3 and the Suns are waiting on whoever wins that Clippers-Jazz series. And it is, look, the head storyline in the NBA is injuries. You know, when they played in the bubble last summer because at Disney all the way to October because of COVID, and then they did the quick turnaround to start the regular season, and the owners, you know, rightfully in my mind, were saying, look, we got to play these games to create revenue, tickets, all these things, TV partners need content. But the players were concerned that this is a quick turnaround. We didn't get much downtime to rest our bodies. And I don't know that it's a coincidence that, you know, at all, that the last team standing weren't even in the Final Four a year ago. You know, the Lakers are gone, and the teams that played all the way through to October in the bubble, not here. And what we're talking about is the attrition, is who can stay healthy enough to get to the end. I mean, you just mentioned Devin Booker, in Utah, Donovan Mitchell dealing with injury. Mike Conley dealing with an injury. They're the one seed, but those are their two best players are backcourt. They're hurt. And, you know, Clippers are going to try to take advantage of that. Almost feels like, say, the healthiest team for the next couple of weeks or month is going to win this whole thing.
Yeah, that old Ty Lue doesn't seem like such a jackass after all for resting his players like those last few games during the regular season, because it seemed like he knew that, hey, we got to be 100% because that's the only way you have a shot now. And yeah, that's why Milwaukee, they have a huge advantage against Brooklyn tonight due to Kyrie being injured. And you talked about Joel Embiid. So yeah, it's all about health in the NBA.
Well, I think when you look at the viewership, I mean, the NBA did itself a real injustice of playing so quick. They're trying to recoup that money. They wanted to do it. They wanted to show that, you know, out of coming out of the bubble, everybody's healthy. We're actually ready to go again, and they really weren't.
Especially the teams, they
really weren't ready to go. They needed another month or two before they started to go right back at it. But they wanted to do it, and I mean, I think it's showing in people watching it, because the product is kind of basically the product. To me, it was kind of crappy all year. I mean, just going back and shooting a bunch of threes and not really playing back. It wasn't like it was AAU basketball. It was just tired. It was tired basketball. Guys wasn't going to the hoop. I'm not going to the hoop when I sit back here and shoot threes. I'm tired. And I think you saw that. And the best thing for Devin Booker is playing with this dude right here, Chris Paul. How about that for his future? Have an opportunity. I don't know how long Chris Paul is going to be there. He's probably going to make some more money somewhere. Probably going to leave and go somewhere and make another max contract and be gone. You say 36 years old, E. Do you leave that place? If you play in the championship, you don't win. Do you come back?
I think he likes it in the desert, but we'll see.
Money is money.
Chris Paul has options, and there's word already he's going to opt out. But they could opt out to re-sign with Phoenix. I mean, there's nothing wrong with
sure.
that.
Well,
and it's pretty a lot of old players go to retire in Phoenix, right? Go out in Arizona.
A lot of people go to
the desert.
Yeah.
But as for the fatigue, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the teams that played the longest in the bubble, like the teams, there were a lot of teams that didn't even make the bubble, and they were off for a long time. They didn't play a whole season.
Right.
And so they were ready to play. But the teams that played all the way into, remember, the NBA Finals were right around Texas OU weekend last year in October. That's usually training camp starting up in a regular calendar year. So the Lakers and those type of teams, Miami, that played deep into the bubble, they were disadvantaged for sure coming into this season. But at the same time, look, I know people hate big business, I guess. I don't know. But you got TV contracts you got to fulfill. I mean, the TV's paying the freight for a lot of this. College football, pro football, what's paying for all of this? Ticket holders, especially the high-end ticket holders, and then TV. And so TV needs their games. If you say, well, we're not going to start the season until February to give everybody a rest, well, you know, that's 3 months or 2.5 months of revenue that they now have to make up for. And TV contracts that they're contracts. They're obligated to those games. And I know it's not a perfect situation, but at the same time, for all of us, through what we dealt with through the pandemic and getting through it, it is what it is. He's got to, you know, chalk it up to what the year was all about and the challenges it presented. And now here we are with the last handful of teams for the NBA. So we'll talk some hoops. We're talking college baseball with the Longhorns headed to Omaha. They now know they're playing Mississippi State coming up on Sunday night. We also have this. How about this? The Big 12, Buck, preseason all Big 12 football team was revealed yesterday. And we'll sift through that. There is some burnt orange flavor, but not a lot. We'll run through who is expected to be the best player at each position in the Big 12 Conference in 2021 as we count down to the days of the college football season as well. First, though, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Full circle for the Texas Longhorns. Baseball, first game of the year, lost to Mississippi State. All right, they lost the first three games of their season and righted the ship. Now they're headed to Omaha where they'll face Mississippi State, who they open the season with. That'll be Sunday night, 6 o'clock first pitch right here on the Horn as the Horns make their way to Omaha. We'll hear more, and we will hear from Zach Zuby. We've fixed our computer issue or glitch we were dealing with. We will have some Zach Zubia sound coming up. Also, we'll get into this. Athlons is out with their preseason all Big 12 teams, including a couple of Longhorns in the mix. We'll get you details on that coming up. Talking some college football here in the month of June because we never stop talking college football.
I hope not. I hope we always talk college football, pro football. 17 games of the NFL this year.
Oh, man.
17 full games. By the way, when I say that I thought the product was bad in the NBA, the viewership is down because of the political tone of the NBA this year. And
oh, sure.
And also, there's no doubt in my mind. So don't think I don't believe that's why it's down. I believe that's why it's down more than anything. But the product of basketball and the NBA is absolutely hard to watch. It just is. I'm talking about as a product itself of what basketball is like. And say, I don't know where it started, and I don't know. It could have started a long time ago, but guys are so skilled at doing certain things, and there's other basic skills that they lack. But believe me, I know it's down because of the political tone of what happened in activism last year. That's why it's down. But the product sucks too. The product. I love seeing these new teams. I love seeing the Jazz. I love seeing Denver. I love seeing Phoenix, like new blood into this deal. With the Lakers and some of the teams. I mean, even the Philadelphia 76ers, that's new blood to me.
Sure, well, sure it is.
You know what I mean? Atlanta, that's new blood. It's good to see these teams. And, you want Milwaukee to finally have some success. Can they do it? But it gets old with the, you know what I'm saying? Some of it just gets old, and I just think the product is down too.
So what's interesting about that is I saw Woj put out a tweet yesterday saying the NBA is going to look at certain fouls that have been called recently.
I saw that.
And they gave example to James Harden and Trae Young, how those guys manipulate referees to making them call fouls that are absolutely outrageous, which that's been going on since flopping came into the league. NBA refs have really struggled with how
well, Frazier did that so sweetly as a guard, the up pump and all that stuff and fall into you. I don't understand why they would do that. Hey, you're a defender. You have to defend. But if a guy is made, you know when a guy is flop shotting and falling into you and all that stuff. But some of it just, you have to defend that, right? Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, but a lot of these refs, you could tell they've never hooped before. Like, you could tell guys never played, you know, certain types of basketball before. It doesn't have to be NBA. It could be any type of, you know, recreational basketball. And the game in the NBA is different than the game in college.
Well, I never thought of it on the refs.
I mean, I don't want to blame everything on the refs. Obviously, the NBA could do something to fix it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the flopping era, you know, the NBA being soft era, a lot of it has changed the way people view it.
But I don't disagree with you that it's been a bad product. I mean, I was the one, and maybe it was because we were with COVID and without sports for so long. I thought the bubble product was great last year. I mean, I enjoyed watching the basketball in the bubble even without the crowds last year because there was a high level of play. They were playing in the day and then the night, and they were playing consistently, and it was intense.
I think more of it, we just didn't have any sports.
But, I mean, look, just the level of basketball was better. I mean, just the intrigue of each game was more compelling for me. I mean, watching Luka and the Mavs in that series with the Clippers, and then the Heat making their run, and the Lakers doing their thing. I mean, that was pretty compelling basketball. And it crossed over into football season, which, you know, then all of a sudden you've got other things that you're talking about. Baseball and football were right there in September when they were deciding their championship, and it was still compelling basketball. I think you're right from the start of this year that it really hasn't been that compelling of a product, and even into the playoffs, where normally the level of pressure and the level of intensity rises, and it is almost like a lot of these teams are out of gas and they're just trying to get to the finish line because of the compressed season and how they turned it around to get games on the air and get games in stadiums for owners' pockets and just for the basic bottom line of the industry. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Brooklyn's going to play tonight in an all-important Game 5 without their two stars. Now, is that you got a rolled ankle and a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, it's almost like this season particularly feels like a war of attrition. Who can get to the finish line as healthy as possible? And look, that's not that different than the NFL. I mean, injuries play a major factor into who wins the biggest games of the NFL season as well. But at least this year, I agree with you that the product is. And does it mean it's going to be terrible again next year?
No,
I don't think so. I think with a full offseason and full normal cycle, I think things can get back.
And I'm definitely wondering who's showing up in Tokyo. Who's playing?
No, not many. Nobody. For the USA.
Is Kawhi going? He says
hell
he's going.
No, he ain't going.
He's going, he said.
No, I don't think so. But look, I mean, it's an odd year. And I don't think there's any coincidence that the final four teams who played in the bubble are not playing today.
Yeah.
Because they played all the way into October. And then turned
sense.
Around and played 72 games into the playoffs, and they're out of gas. And so, yes, it does bring new blood. Here comes Phoenix. Here come the 76ers. Here comes Brooklyn Nets now healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, the teams that were the Final Four a year ago aren't even playing. They're done, including the Lakers, who are your defending champions. Hey, we'll get your BNE Fact of the Day out to you on the other side. We'll also reset the headlines and hear from Longhorn senior first baseman Zach Zubia on what makes this team special, this Longhorn baseball team, and the mission not accomplished. They're excited to be in Omaha, but ready to go up there and do some damage. We'll hear from Zach. We'll also get you that Athlon's preseason all-Big 12 football squad. It is out. We'll sift through that. That's a lot of conversation there as well. It's live, local, and digital on what's going to be a blazing hot Tuesday in the ATX. We're always streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and at hornfm.com.